The Brooklyn Nets made beautiful music in blowing out the Utah Jazz. We'll talk the Nets' performance, Steve Nash's new lineup in the absence of Kevin Durant, and Kyrie Irving absolutely lighting it up. We'll also chat with one of the all-time great Nets guards from back in the 90s. It's Mr. Chibs, Kenny Anderson. He joins the show. All that plus Robin's rap and more next on Full Court on Flatbush from the New York Post.
The next stop is Barclays Center.
Full Court on Flatbush.
Flatbush Avenue.
It's the podcast. A New York Post.
Bound.
BK. More stars in the sky.
The three. It's good.
Brooklyn Nets. Take them to the sick baseline.
Nets win. Nets win.
So many stars.
The crossover. Oh, it's good! Game time!
Welcome to Full Court on Flatbush. I'm your host, Robin Lundberg, alongside my co-host, former Nets great Kerry Kittles. You can subscribe to Full Court on Flatbush on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. Give us a five-star rating and write a nice review on Apple Podcasts, would you? Follow us on Twitter at @Kerry_Kittles30 and at Robin Lundberg. New episodes of the show come out Wednesday afternoons, and Nets great Kenny Anderson will join us later in the show. But Kerry, first of all, we're lucky we're both still here and that Jake Brown is producing the show and not Steve Nash, or else the lineup might have changed.
That's a true statement. Steve Nash definitely has had his work cut out for him as a young coach in the NBA. He's learning that, on the fly, that, you know, from a player standpoint, now when you're coaching, you know, things could change. And, your guys are out of lineups with KD having to tend to his protocol with COVID and other players just not getting it quite done. So, you know, he had to make some changes, and that's good for the Nets. I think they've shown the resolve that you want to see from a young team.
I want to give him a lot of credit and personally thank him, to be honest, because this would have been a depressing show to do had they lost to the Jazz. It would have been one of those like panic time sort of shows. And instead, the win against the Jazz felt like the start of something good. And I give Nash credit because he was both bold and showed he wasn't stubborn in the moves he made. He was bold because you don't expect to see that lineup and see Joe Harris on the bench. And that may have helped Caris LeVert snap out of his funk playing alongside Joe Harris and TLC, spreading the floor a little bit for him in that second unit. And then he wasn't stubborn sticking to DeAndre Jordan when Jared Allen has absolutely and thoroughly outplayed Rudy Gobert in that game. And in getting Bruce Brown into that lineup as well, when this team needed some defense and when it needed just a jolt of athleticism, somebody who would get to loose balls, do some of that dirty work.
The move was definitely a bold move. If you're thinking about, you know, changing your lineups and, you know, taking out TLC, who's a younger player, and DeAndre Jordan, who really hasn't been performing as well, you wouldn't have definitely thought of going to Bruce Brown off the end of your bench, a younger guy who really hasn't played that much. But yes, that was a bold move by Steve. It shows his flexibility. It shows that, he really trusts his ball club and the president of the team. You know, you listen to him talking, he's all about the team and everyone buying into their roles. Those guys have all really clearly demonstrated that they admire him as a player and what he's done as a player, but also now as a leader of the team, they're going to go out there and do whatever they're asked to do. And you saw everyone really in that Utah game if that's the Nets we're going to see throughout the rest of the year, that's going to be a great team.
Yeah, just turn, Torian Prince into Kevin Durant and maybe DeAndre Jordan into Nick Claxton, who's a sleeping secret, I think, for the Nets when he gets healthy. I really like what I saw from him as a rookie. I do want to spend a second on DeAndre Jordan for a second, because Jared Allen's just, taking a leap this season. He's amongst the leaders in rebounding rate. I think he might be number one in the NBA. His per 36 numbers are excellent. But DeAndre Jordan has that relationship with KD and Kyrie. I just can't imagine, even if Nash says he's going to tinker with lineups, that he goes back to Jordan in the starting lineup. Do you think there was a chance Jordan started the season almost as a, I know you guys are boys, type of a situation. And then as soon as he saw what he needed to see, he made the move when it couldn't have been more clear.
Yeah, I think that was definitely it. I think you hit the nail on the head right there with that. I think Steve was very smart about understanding, you know, the relationship between his superstars and DeAndre Jordan. And so he gave him a chance, you know, initially to try and prove that he can start. And it can change. I think Steve is pretty flexible with that. But, yeah, you know, when you've seen what Jared Allen can do, how he affects the game with his length, he converts everything around the basket. He's either going to dunk it or get fouled. You know, he's really been good on defense, switching and affecting the ball. Some of these smaller guards, he's having a great year. It's, you know, as a former player, you know that, you know, these players have another gear when it's contract year. And you're staring at those contracts. And then you're playing against Rudy Gobert, who's a very similar player. You want to prove that, you know, you do have some value in the market. And selfishly, that's kind of how players think. But Jared is all about the team. He's doing everything he's asked to do. And wow, what a game that he had the other night.
Does that come up, guys' contract situations, or is that just sort of unspoken?
Oh, no, that comes up. That definitely comes up. Players are not afraid to have those conversations. But, you know, listen, as long as you're doing it within the concept of the team and you're not getting out of bounds with that, I think no one really cares. We all understand that.
Do you have an example? Like, can you recall a time that came up with anybody?
Nah, I think Jason Williams. I remember playing with Jason Williams early in my career. He was due for a nice contract, you know, and he played his balls out that year. I think he was probably one or two in the league in rebounds. And he told everybody on the team, if you see a ball and you see me near the ball, don't go for it. So everyone just kind of stood back and watched him get all these rebounds. But generally speaking, I think it's just understood, right? It's contract year for certain guys, and you know, if it's a chance of him getting a few more extra points or whatever, you just let him do it.
Well, I think that the positive side with Allen too, he's a young player, so it could be part of his ascension as well. At least you hope this is part of his ascension, because you've got some core building blocks, and he may be one of them. Now we know who the main core building blocks are, but Kyrie Irving just continues to, like, what else do you say about this dude? It's special to watch. And that lineup that they put out there, you know, Kyrie's not a traditional point guard, right? He's not going to distribute it. He's a scoring guard in a point guard's body. So they put all that support out there around him. But when it just comes to skill and his ability to get a shot off at any time, what else can you say about it, Kerry?
You know, I'm speechless. Every time I watch the kid play, knowing his size and knowing how difficult it can be to try to get off those shots against some of these bigger, taller players whenever they switch on them, he just has a unique skill set. He has probably more like a Jason Kidd kind of confidence, right? Like, it's just, I'm taking this shot. I'm going to get to my spot. I'm going to make it. I don't care where you are, how close you are to me. You know, he's shown that, that those years where we've seen his brilliance when he was in Cleveland, and even in Boston, I think it's going to carry over no matter where he is. And I think for the Nets, I'm really looking forward to him having a healthy season. And then, my gosh, in the playoffs, when the money's on the line, just give him the ball and just watch him go to work.
You played with Jason Kidd, just why you referenced him, and that confidence obviously trickles down to the team, but very different style of players. I mean, is there an adjustment kind of difference where with Jason Kidd, you're knowing, I'm going to spot up, or I'm going to fill the lane on the break. With Kyrie, it's like, I'm going to defend, I'm going to rebound, because he's going to cover a lot of that other stuff.
Yeah, you're right. They're totally different players, Jason Kidd and Kyrie. But having said that, like, they're both leaders of the team, right? And so they're going to have the ball in their hands. They're going to make certain decisions. And we know Kyrie is probably looking to score more, and his teammates understand that, and they buy into that. It's similar like when I played against Allen Iverson, who was a great player, but Allen Iverson wanted to score buckets on you. That's all he wanted to do was score. And his teammates knew that. So they just kind of stood back and watched. If there was a late kick out there, you know, they'll take an extra three. But for the most part, they just understood that that's what he does great, and we're not going to get in the way of that. Steve Nash understands that as well as a head coach, even though he didn't play that way. And Kyrie has been just putting his head down, getting buckets, and he's shooting a great percentage, 28 points a game thus far. He's unstoppable.
Who you taking, Iverson or Kyrie? Who's better?
That's a tough one. Ah, man. That's a tough one. I mean, Kyrie hit the biggest shot, right? NBA Finals, game winner, essentially to win a title. Iverson is perennial. That's a tough one. You're splitting hairs.
Oh, but we need, I mean, his nickname is the answer. I'm going to need to get one from, you know.
I'm probably going to have to go with Iverson because he's from my era. We were the same draft class. Why not?
I'll go Kyrie. When you're talking about efficiency and the ability to score from you always say it, multiple levels, I think it's Kyrie. Though, you never questioned Iverson's commitment, obviously, and when they got to the finals, the step over Tyronn Lue. As you talked about before, Kyrie, trying to show that he can be the leader of the team, but that's where it helps to have KD. But that was a big one for him because KD was gone. You know, KD had sort of filled that top role with Kyrie being the secondary guy doing what he does best. And when KD went down, you didn't think this team was going to be so disproportionately carried by him as it was early in the season. So it was really heartening to see that kind of performance without him. But what do you think are the overall ramifications of Durant's absence? Or is there a possibility this could wind up being a nice thing for the Nets long term, given they can work some of these other issues out?
Yeah, it's definitely a blessing in disguise for the team. I think you're going to really learn about Kyrie's leadership, right? Is he going to be the kind of guy to take 35 shots a game, or is he going to take 20 shots and still be efficient and use his teammates at the same time? And we saw that in the last game, right? Kyrie was very efficient. He made shots, but he also was able to find his teammates. And now you have other guys, right? You know, Steve Nash and the coaching staff get a chance to look at certain guys in their roles. I would have thought that if you're going to take out TLC to start a lineup and you didn't want to go with LeVert, maybe you go with Shamit, but he went with Bruce Brown. Right. And so that shows that, you know, these guys are going to be asked to do certain things and they all have to be ready to go. You know, in the next four games, you have a couple back to backs. So you may not even have Kyrie in some of these back to back games. So now to put more pressure on other guys down the bench to see how they respond and are they ready to play? Can they get in there and be more effective and keep the win streak going? So this Durant absence is going to definitely be a blessing for the team.
So it turns out the Nets do have a coach.
They do. Steve Nash is. He's moving this around like a chess player. I'm loving what I'm seeing from him thus far. He's had some things, right? Like, do you call a timeout when other teams are making runs? And he's sitting there on the bench just looking and like, no, keep playing. So Nash has had some things. Obviously, we discussed it before with the center position. That was something to deal with. And now you're having to coach a game without your two best players, you know, both averaging, you know, 55 points combined. You're just taking it off the board. He's been doing a pretty good job, and I think the Nets did a really good job hiring him.
Yeah, basketball geniuses are few and far between. You played with one, and Jason Kidd. I think Steve Nash is one. LeBron James is one. So it makes the transition a little easier to the coaching position when you could see the game the way Steve Nash did from his playing days. But good signs for the Brooklyn Nets after that win over the Utah Jazz. Coming up next, I'll bring my alter ego out right here on Full Court on Flatbush.
All right, instead of Kerry's Chronicles on Full Court on Flatbush this week, we're going to do something a little different. It's Robin's Rap. Now, Robin's a rapper. He's not Biggie. He's not Jay-Z. A couple of iconic rappers come out of Brooklyn. But he was Lil Young back in the day. So after Hov, after Biggie, there was Lil Young. And that's Robin Lundberg. So, Robin, we have a beat for you, courtesy of my roommate Trev Bott on the beat. And we're going to see if you got some bars. Are you ready?
Well, you're calling me a rapper is a little generous. I used to, dabble in rapping. And just for context, Jake hits me up and carry up like an hour before the show. Hey, Robin, you think you can freestyle rap for us? So here, you know, fortune favors the bold. Let's do it.
All right. So, this is like a 30-minute ahead plan freestyle, essentially. So we'll see what he's got. Trev Bott on the beat. It's his Cake instrumental. So, you know, let's hear if you got some bars. Here we go. It's Lil Young and Trev Bott on the beat. Here we go.
Here's the, what I gotta say, turn my headphones up. That's required, right? Go ahead, turn my headphones up. All right, let me catch it. All right, my rap's cash, call it Steve Nash, but I don't need no coach, no shots at Kyrie who takes plenty, burden down nets like sage in an arena that's empty. You're lucky this ain't no battle, just like there isn't one for best team in NYC. I'm MC John Cena, you can't see me. Either on the MIC or in a city edition. My performance is in rhythm in any New Jersey. With bars that go hard like Brooklyn, shouts to Hov and Biggie. So don't test me when you know you can't. No weaknesses in my game, call me Kevin Durant. The flow's silly, no Achilles. Next up, Philly. Off the dome, it's Kerry Kittles. I keep on going, y'all is little. When I'm big on the mic, gargantuan. Everybody wants to come, but you ain't substantial enough to mic with me. I'm the illest on the MIC. It's Lil Young in Uptown, Upper West Side. They call me Robbie B. Because I burned down the mics historically until I marched to victory. Y'all want to see me? Nah, man.
Oh, dropping
nice.
The heat.
That's pretty nice.
Now, I think there might have been a delay, so that might have factored in there. But otherwise, some bars, that was right off the top. You got Kerry Kittle's mention in there. So
I like it.
Yeah, I didn't know if I was catching the beat or not, because I didn't know if I was catching the beat on time or not. But I don't know. I think the words spoke for themselves, though.
Yeah, I think next time we play it from your end, so you play it, so you have it right next to your ear, and that's how we'll do it next time. And, you know, I dabble in freestyling, so maybe in a few weeks we get a battle. You said you were a battle rapper. We might have to do a little battle rap here on Full Court on Flatbush.
I mean, come on, bring it.
I don't know. I don't know if Kerry
can handle it. You think I'm scared of you?
Yeah. I mean, I'm kind of scared.
Full Court on Flatbush, all things rap, all things hoops. Let's do it.
Yeah,
Full Court on Flatbush is going to be an ambush.
Oh, he's just got heat in the back of his head. He's been thinking about this for a while. He's like, I want Jake to text me. Let's do a rap. And then he's like, all right, I got it. So there it is. All right, why don't you guys talk to a guy not from Brooklyn, from Queens next, Kenny Anderson.
We now welcome into Full Court on Flatbush longtime NBA guard who started his career with the New Jersey Nets, currently the head coach at Fisk University. You can follow him on Twitter at Chibs_1 and check out his documentary, Mr. Chibs, The Kenny Anderson Story, on Amazon Prime Video. It is Kenny Anderson. And Kenny, obviously, you know, when you think of city point guards, your name comes to mind. We were talking about Kyrie Irving a little bit earlier in the show. I was just curious, at point guard to point guard, what your admiration level is for his game.
Kyrie is definitely probably the number one point guard in the NBA right now. Ball-handling skills is exceptional and gets anywhere on the basketball court and can shoot the jump shot. He's just an awesome player. He's better than me when I was in the league. So, you know, that's saying a lot.
How you doing, Kenny? This is Kerry Kittles. You know, now the addition with – now these guys both playing together, Kyrie and KD. And you think about your early days with the Nets when you had another superstar in Derek Coleman. How do you see that comparison when point guard and well, they have another big guard in Kevin Durant. But, you know, you were playing with the really dominant power forward at that time.
Yeah, the league was a lot different. You know, I played for the New Jersey Nets 91 to 95. And now, you know, with the no touching rule and you can't hold a point guard and things like that nature, it's really tough. You know, it's easier now for them guys to stretch the floor. And there are two very good shooters, Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant. They can shoot the ball from anywhere on the court. And Kevin Durant is he's like 7 feet. It's really difficult to guard him on the perimeter. And when he gets inside, it's tough. But it's a little more softer. The lead is softer, period. And it's fan-friendly now. And that's what it's about.
Yeah, I hear that brought up a lot, you know, how it's softer. But at the same time, how much more difficult is it to guard these guys because of the kind of shots they're taking? You know, right? Kyrie, KD, Steph Curry, you know, LeBron even, pull up from the logo that they can hit consistently.
It's tough, you know. And now with Lillard and, like, he's one of those guys that Lillard, Curry, you can just shoot from wherever on the basketball court. So it's really tough guarding those guys. With no hand-checking rules, it makes it even tougher. But you got to just, you know, give the fans what they want. And I think during the playoffs, it shuts down a little bit. It gets more rough and tougher, you know, for those guys to score. But those are elite scorers. The top in the league, top five, top 10 guys are elite scorers. They can do it, man. They can do it.
You also played in an era for point guards. You guys had a lot more responsibility, right, to be true leaders on the court. You weren't necessarily, you know, tasked with scoring a bunch of points every now and then. But for you, you did score and you dished the ball out. Like, when you look at Kyrie and his responsibilities now as a leader on this Nets team and trying to find that balance between when to pick and choose to score versus, you know, dishing the ball out and making his teammates better. How do you see that for him as a point guard?
For him, he's a great point guard. And they say he doesn't – this is the knock on him a little bit. He doesn't pass the ball extremely – he passed the ball extremely well, but he doesn't pass, you know, occasionally. When he has to, he passes. So he just has to find that fine line. And his coach, you know, Steve Nash, is a great point guard, great leader, and he'll get it. He just got to stay on him about getting them guys involved when necessary. But he's a great point guard.
You know, Kerry had mentioned before you playing alongside Derek Coleman. You guys also played alongside Drazen Petrovic. And when, you know, our producer Jake Brown had announced that you'd be on the show, so some fans had said, you know, we want to hear some stories about Drazen Petrovic, who was, you know, on the cutting edge of coming over from overseas and playing, but life was tragically cut short in an accident. What do you recall about Drazen Petrovic and what could have been?
He was a gym rat, you know. He wanted to belong here in the NBA. He's with Portland Trail Blazers. They had Terry Porter and Clyde Drexler, so they had to move him. They moved him to New Jersey Nets. It was just great having him, you know, with the Nets. And when I came in, and we had Derek Coleman, so, you know, he was awesome. He's a gym rat. He worked on his game extremely hard and, you know, made me pick up on some of my early, when I got into the league, about working out. He would be in practice like an hour before, just drenched, just getting shots up and working out on his game. It made me, you know, really want to do that. And he's just a great player, but just a great person, man. Some, you know, it was just tragic losing him.
Kenny, when you look at Kyrie Irving recently talking about his affinity for playing for the Nets and his appreciation, actually, you know, watching yourself play and myself play back in the late 90s and how he really respects the fact that he's wearing it's his hometown jersey and what an honor it is to play for the Nets. What would you say, looking back as a local guy from New York City playing for your home team with distractions of your family and things like that, and just the expectations of what it takes being a professional basketball player?
I'll tell you a little story. When I was getting drafted, I was going to be 1, 2, or 3 in the draft. So a lot of my friends and family was like hoping that Sacramento had the 3rd pick, that I was going to go to Sacramento and be away from home. But, you know, the New Jersey Nets, Willis Reed drafted me, and it was great. It was great for me. You know, it made me learn. Made me learn how to handle my ins and outs every day, you know, but it was tough, you know, coming from, you know, where I came from, Queens, about an hour and a half from the Meadowlands where we played at. It was just great, great playing, you know, for the New Jersey Nets, my home team, even though I'm from New York. So, you know, the Knicks, I don't follow the Knicks, man. I the Knicks is not on my radar. So I'm happy we got Kyrie, Kevin Durant, and we're making some noise. We're going to make some noise.
So are you saying that Brooklyn is now New York's basketball team?
Yes, yeah, definitely right now. But you got those diehard Knicks fans that ain't going nowhere. You know, my mother, you know, rest in peace, my brother, my sister, they all Knicks fans. They're not going nowhere. But Brooklyn is where it's at. Brooklyn Nets, baby.
And maybe gaining those new fans. Now, you know, when the Nets moved to Brooklyn, all of the marketing seemed to be around that borough, right? And the tie-ins to that borough. But recently they announced a little bit of a throwback to the jersey era with their jerseys. They're going to wear, I think they're called classic editions, I think from the 1990 season, that tie-dyed red, white, and blue look. And I think those uniforms and the court will debut against the Sixers on Thursday. I saw on Twitter you had really had a level of admiration for that gesture. What did that make you feel to see that the Nets, since they've been so all in on Brooklyn, we're now giving love back to Jersey?
Oh, it's just great. You know, too bad I didn't play. I got there in 91. So 90 was the tie-dye. And me and Derek Coleman, we talk about that. He played in the tie-dye uniforms. And I just think it's great that the Nets is coming back with them and letting the guys play through that era. You know, that was a great era. Derek Coleman was rookie of the year in 1990. He's extremely great power forward. So it was just awesome, man. It was just awesome. And I like to see that.
Kenny, I know one thing. It's Jake here. I need one of those number 7 Anderson jerseys from that year. That jersey is fresh. So if you get your hands on an extra large, hook me up, bro.
Yeah, I need a bunch of them, man. I need about 50 of them, because everybody I talk to wants one.
Well, you know, it's funny because the merchandising has been so successful for Brooklyn. Do you think any team has done a better job projecting the imagery around with the City Edition stuff, with the Classic Edition, with the court, the Great Court, and the tie-dye, all that stuff from a marketing standpoint? How effective do you think they've been?
I think it's been effective. Whoever's doing the marketing with the Brooklyn Nets is doing a hell of a job, man. It's a great job. You know, it's probably the top. It should be the top in the league. We're going back to our old jerseys and the courts and things of that nature. And New York is the mecca of basketball. So, and I think the Nets are doing a great job, and we got to stay with it.
Kenny, if you when you're looking at the Nets, right, and I know it's kind of early on to make any predictions, but you know, right, like what Kevin Durant can do and Kyrie can do, big time performers in NBA finals and things of that sort. So if those guys are healthy heading into the postseason, how do you see them in the East matching up with, let's say, a Milwaukee or a Boston in the finals?
They can really they was favorite to win it. I'm not sure. But right now, it's a long season, and Kevin Durant is missing some games. So I think that's a blessing in disguise. He's missing some games. It's a long season. You can get the other guys' minutes playing and see where your team lies, especially a rookie coach, Steve Nash. I think we're going to be top three, four in the Eastern Conference, and we're going to battle. But I really think it really depends on Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant, if they're healthy and they're ready to go, you know, they'll be fine. And with the long season and how players are playing, you know, some games, they sitting out and things of that, we got to be wise on that. Or Kevin Durant, he's coming back from an Achilles heel injury, so we definitely got to be wise where he don't, you know, re-injure that injury. So get him as much rest as possible. But leading into the playoffs, we're going to be fine. Believe that.
So you think it could help keep his legs fresh? That would be like one of the silver linings aside from the lineup shifts?
Awesome. Yes, completely, completely. Getting minutes off, getting rest right now and so on. And then you're getting, you're building your team, seeing how other guys could perform. Steve Nash, his first year coaching. This is great. I really believe it.
You know, Kenny, you speak about Steve Nash first year coaching, and you know, you're coaching right now in college. You also, when you look across the NBA, you've seen so many point guards recently, you know, like Derek Fisher coaching and Jason Kidd coaching, guys you played against. How do you see that transition for Steve Nash working out with him learning what it takes to lead an NBA franchise, even though he's, you know, a Hall of Fame player and decorated career in the NBA?
I think it's going to be great. You know, he surrounded himself with the people he know. D'Antoni, he played for him in Phoenix. He had some of the successful years under him. Stoudemire played for with him. So I think he's gonna do well. You know, and all point guards, we're extension to the coach on the floor. We can see things develop, and I think he's gonna do a great job. But it's a lot of pressure on him just being in the New York area. You know, the guys, you know, we want to win right away. And you got to take, it takes some time to, especially in the NBA, to win right away. But I think he's going to do it.
Do you learn something about yourself coaching? What have you learned about yourself in your post-playing days and coaching at the university level?
The one thing is patience. I got to be patient. I'm at an NAIA school, small school, 600 students. This is very small. And this is what I wanted to do, and I love to do it on a small level, but I got to be patient. You know, most guys are not playing the game, the point guard position like I played it and see everything. So that's the main thing I've learned is being patient and having a different attitude towards my players and things of that. And then in college, you got to recruit. And you got to recruit players that fit your style of play, but to fit, you know, your school. Because most kids in my school, they got to go to class and play basketball. So it's a lot different nowadays than the 21 years when I played college. A lot different, you know. The mothers and fathers involved, you know, they think their kids is D1 when, you know, when they're not, you know. So it's you just gotta tell these kids the truth, and that's what I'm about, just telling them the truth and trying to get them to work extremely hard on their games and in life in general.
Kenny, do you ever think about what would happen if you did stay with the Nets? Obviously, you had a long career, but you bounced around, and after the Nets, your longest tenure was with Boston. Do you think about, hey, what if I was playing with Kerry Kittles and maybe Stephon Marbury, maybe eventually Jason Kidd? Who knows what happens?
No, I think about it, but I think about me, Derek Coleman, Dronjan Petrović. If we stayed there, we might have got something accomplished. But, you know, we was in the era of Jordan, Michael Jordan era, where he won 6 championships with Chicago. So it would have been tough. Now, if you say if we would have stayed, then Kerry Kittle, would we have drafted Kerry Kittles? Would we have drafted Jason Kidd? Would Stephon Marbury would have went there? You just never know. So it would have snowballed. You never know if we would have stayed. Myself, Derek Coleman, Drazen Petrovic. We had the three. All we needed is a four and five. We had a good team, but we was in the era of Jordan. So it was tough.
Yeah, definitely was a tough era to try to win, especially in the Eastern Conference. Kenny, last one. Can you tell people about your documentary? I interviewed you in studio back on my CBS show about like 5 years ago. I thought I would make the cut, but I don't think I was good looking enough for a documentary. So I didn't make it. But tell people about Mr. Chibbs, because your life story is very intriguing. You've been through a lot. You've had plenty of ups and you've had plenty of downs. Take us through the Mr. Chibbs documentary.
Mr. Chibbs documentary, you know, it was a time 4 years ago, everybody was doing documentaries. And I was like, man, mine is spicy. So let's do it. My life story is spicy. So we did it. Jill Campbell is the director. She did a hell of a job directing my documentary. It's getting a lot of foreplay. It's getting a lot of action. And I really appreciate everybody that's going out there that's watching it. It's just my career, my life career, high school, college, and pro. You know, I did it on every level. Every level, and it tells you. I'm not going to get into it and tell you, because I want to watch. I want everyone that's listening out there to watch it, and you'll get a real dose of what's really good about life in general. So it's a great doc. So and it's truthful. It's truthful.
And it's only a couple of bucks. It's a couple of bucks on Amazon Prime. So everyone's got Amazon Prime. You're all ordering your asses off for Christmas presents and everything. So you use your Prime membership and go get it.
People are still buying Christmas presents?
New Year's, birthdays, Valentine's.
The COVID issue where we at. The COVID issue, you're just around the house just chilling. Watch Mr. Chibbs. It's a great, great documentary. Watch it.
Mr. Chibbs, the Kenny Anderson story. It's on Amazon Prime Video. Kenny, before we let you go, I just wanted to revisit it one more time because it's been a hot topic in the city, and Knicks fans are puffing their chests out. They're over 500 in January, even though it's a shortened season. Brooklyn championship aspirations. You know, what do you make of the battle for hoops in New York City? Because you expressed it before. I believe that in its heart of hearts, New York City wants to be a basketball town. The product just hasn't been good enough. Where do you see that? How do you see that unfolding, Knicks versus Nets?
Well, the Knicks versus Nets is great. But right now, you know, for a few years, we're going to take that throne, you know, the Nets, because of Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant. But the Knicks with Coach Tibbs, he's doing a hell of a job right there. It's early, though. It's early. Early in the season, but they're very young. You know, they're going to keep improving. I really believe with the kind of coach they have, it's a plus. And it's a plus with the whole New York City basketball thing. But far as Nets and Knicks, I think if Kyrie is healthy, Kevin Durant is healthy, and the pieces that we got Steve Nash, the coach, we're going to be fine. But the Knicks, I think, is going to come up this year. They're going to play hard. I think they'll make the playoff. I think they'll be maybe 8-7.
Whoa.
8-7 seed. I think they might make it. I think they might make it. But I'm going with, you know, the coaching style. Coach Tibbs is a hell of a coach, man. He's a great coach. He's going to get those guys motivated. And, you know, that's what I see. But what New York, everybody has to play well. You know, because we're in the Mecca, man. We're in the Mecca. So the Brooklyn Nets, the New York Knicks play well. That's a plus for everyone in New York.
Yeah, and I'm with you. Tibbs is going to get the most out of that team. But like you mentioned, the crown of basketball in NYC is in
BK. It's going through Brooklyn. It's going through Brooklyn right now. It's going through Brooklyn. Period. We got two of the studs in the league. We're good.
I agree with you.
Nets fans are hyped right now. Listen to that. Wow.
Yeah, there you go. The great Kenny Anderson, longtime NBA guard. You can follow him on Twitter at Chibbs_1. Kenny began his career with the Nets, still repping the Nets today. We really appreciate your time.
Thanks, Kenny.
All right. Thank you. Thanks, man. Thanks.
The next stop is Barclays Center.
That wraps up episode 3, the Drazen Petrovic edition of Full Court on Flatbush, our Brooklyn Nets podcast from the New York Post. Thanks to Jake Brown for producing the show. Subscribe to Full Court on Flatbush on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get podcasts. And please give us that 5-star rating. Write a nice review on Apple Podcasts, would you? For Kerry Kittles, I'm Robin Lundberg. We'll return next Wednesday. Happy New Year, everyone. Talk to you then, and stay safe.